This is Jeff Buckles of the Heroes of Today News Ministries with you. We're in Genesis chapter 32, about to finish it up, looking at Jacob. And Jacob now has wrestled with the angel. And we're learning a lot about what it's like to be right with God and to be in prayer in this story. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have not changed. And God, that we can still come before you and make requests. And Father, we thank you for these examples. Lord, help us to live by them, to learn from them, and not to make the same mistakes and to do the things right that are right in them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now Jacob now has wrestled with the angel. The angel has touched the hollow of his thigh, and the sinew shrank. And this took the strength from Jacob, and all Jacob could do now was hold on. And he wept, he told us in Hosea 12, 3 and 4, and made supplication. And the angel speaks to him and says, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Now, what is so strange about this? What is so significant about this? The significance is this. Jacob, the very name Jacob, means supplanter. It means shyster. Here Jacob is confessing to what he really is. He is a supplanter, speaking to the angel of God. And you know, when we come before God in true repentance, when we come before God in true sorrow for our sins, we come before God admitting exactly what we are. When we get down on our knees to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we don't just say, God, I'm a sinner. Whenever we say it, we mean, Lord, you know what I am. Whether it's an adulterer or an adulteress, whether it's a murderer or a whoremonger, whether it's a drunkard or a villain of any kind. When we get down on our knees before God, we admit these things unto Him, whatever it may be. Whether it be a religious person, a moral person, a hypocrite, if you will. And we have to admit this to God. Here's Jacob in his confession to God. What is your name? My name is Supplanter. And the angel says to him, your name shall no more be called Supplanter, but it shall be called Israel. His name now is changed from Crooked Supplanter to a Prince of God. And you know what Paul says to us in Corinthians? He says, such were some of you, that you're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified. We're saved. We're saved. If we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, though we have been supplanters, now we're called princes with God. The body of Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou hast asked after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun arose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh and the sinew that shrank. Now, as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. This being a lesson to us again. Here Jacob had seen God face to face. He says in verse 29:30. The Bible tells us that no man has seen God and lived. But do you know that those of us who have seen the face of Jesus Christ through faith have seen God? Because He was God manifest in the flesh. And we see God now face to face, and we don't die. We see Him in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't literally see God the Father in His Spirit, in His glory, because we could not bear it. It would utterly consume us physically from off the face of the earth. But we do see God in faith in the person of His Son. In the Word of God, we see Him clearly. Not as clearly as we shall one day, but we see Him as through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. And here, not only does He see God face to face, not only does this speak to us of the fact that we now are face to face with God once we're born again and once we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, but it also speaks to us in verse 31. He halts upon His thigh. There is a reminder for Jacob. A memorial for Jacob, if you will, of his old self. That which Jacob had trusted in all those years, now he limps along and he realizes, you know, I can't trust in my own strength anymore. I have to simply trust in the strength of God. This is what God teaches him here. All this time that Jacob has been saying, God, you promised this, but I better do this to make sure it happens. All this has happened so many times, but now, Jacob realizes there's nothing that I can do here. There's nothing I can do in this situation but simply hold on and pray and make supplications and rely upon God. And God makes the promise to Jacob. Now it says in chapter 33, Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came with 400 men. Here the fear of Jacob is being revealed. It is being laid out in front of him. Here comes his brother who wanted to kill him, and the 400 men are with him. Jacob halting upon his thighs now, a weak man of the flesh. And he divided the children into Leah, to Rachel, and the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph undermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Now notice this. Here is something that's going to be significant, because later on in the life, this is going to come back on Jacob. Jacob was a man who showed very much favoritism. You know, after we're saved, it doesn't mean we're sanctified immediately. It doesn't mean that we're sanctified, yes, by God, set apart by Him. We're made holy in His sight by imputation. We're considered holy on the basis of the righteousness of Christ, the death of Jesus Christ. But now, we're not perfect as far as our actions, and Jacob here still has his plan. He takes his children, and he divides the children to Leah. There goes Leah and her children, Rachel and her children, and then the two handmaids and their children. Now he's divided them all up, and he's going to go to meet his brother as they're divided here. I've got a book here that lays out the family for us, if I can find it here. We find that Leah has her children with her. That's Simeon, Levi, Dinah. Let me read it off to you. Leah's children, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah, are all put together. One of the handmaids, Bilhah, Dan and Naphtali, her children are put with her. The other handmaid, Zilpah, Gad and Asher are with her. And then Rachel's child is with her, Joseph. Now, as of this time, Benjamin had not yet been born, because Joseph never saw Benjamin's face until he came to Egypt. And also, Rachel dies in Benjamin's birth. Now, here we have the children are split up with their mothers. Look at the order now. He put the handmaids and their children foremost. So here, Bilhah and Zilpah, are put up front with their children. So Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, Bilhah, and Zilpah are first to get their throats cut if something happens. Favoritism. This is one reason that polygamy does not work, because of favoritism. He put the handmaids and their children foremost, Leah and her children after them. So next in line was Leah, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Dinah. They will be the next to die before Rachel and Joseph and Jacob died. Now this is terrible. But I want you to notice something here. Okay? We already saw that Rachel leads the household because even to sleep with her own husband, Leah, had to bribe Rachel. And now whenever they're coming back and there's trouble, Leah and her children are looked upon less than Rachel and her children. Do you see? See the favoritism that's already being shown to Joseph in his youth as a young man? He would be the last to die with Rachel. As we go, I would like to sort of try to build a case here for the brothers. What they did with Joseph, what we're going to see that they're going to do to Joseph is a terrible thing. But we also need to understand where the brothers come from when they cast their brother into a pit and sent him into slavery. So we see here the favoritism of the father. Now Esau ran to meet Joseph and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are those with thee?" And he said, "The children which God hath graciously given thy servant." Then the handmaids came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, "What meanest thou by all the drove which I met?" And he said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." Jacob said, "Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I have seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough." And he urged him, and he took it. God has once more, in the life of our character Jacob, worked out all things together for good. This is Jeff Buckles with the Two Ways of Two Destinies Ministry saying goodbye.
Thank you, Jeff, for leading the study this week. We hope that you'll be with us again tomorrow, 1 o'clock, as we're here each weekday afternoon from 1 to 1:15. Each week, a different brother leads the study. And Lord willing, next week, we'll have our brother Mark Beebe on. So for our brother Mark and Jeff, this is Mike Moody with the Two Ways of Two Destinies Radio Network.